The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At that very time there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all others? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Please be seated. I begin this morning with a story, admittedly a story I told once before many years ago, but the originator of this story, a political columnist named Molly Ivins, told it at least a dozen times herself, so I figure it bears repeating at least once here. But first, a little bit about Ivins. Some of you longtime Texans will certainly remember her. If you were at all interested in Texas politics in the 80s and 90s, then I'm sure you read something that she wrote, and I'm pretty sure that it probably made you mad. But it also made you laugh. Ivins liked to describe herself as a populist, which she defined as being for the people and against the powerful. Therefore, in Texas in those years, her targets were almost always the Republicans. However, because she was able to couch her biting criticism with humor, she managed to survive and even developed quite a following. In fact, a documentary about her life was shown at this most recent Sundance Film Festival, and I assume that it will be released at some point to the public. Sadly, Molly Ivins died in 2007 of breast cancer. But thanks to the wonders of YouTube, I was able last night to watch her tell this story live. I won't even try to match her exaggerated Texas drawl, so please use your imaginations. Molly claims this is a true story about another political columnist from her day, a man named John Henry Falk. She tells it something like this. John Henry was one of the heroes of a bad time in this country, the McCarthy era. And that's when he took up freedom fighting as a serious thing. Not many people know this, but before he went into being a First Amendment defender, Johnny was in law enforcement. In fact, he was a captain in the Texas Rangers. Or so he said when he was 6 years old. His best friend, Boots Cooper, was the sheriff. And they used to do a lot of serious law enforcement out behind the Falk family place. One day, Johnny's mama, having two such fine lawmen right there on her property, said, "Now, boys, I want you all to go down to the hen house and get that chicken snake out of there." Johnny and Boots were excited about this big assignment. And they galloped down there on their broomsticks. And they went into the hen house and started looking for that snake. They looked through all the nests on the lower shelf. No snake. Now they were of an age and of a size that where in order to see up on the second shelf, they had to stand way up on their tippy toes in order to see if there were a snake in there. And there was. Now I have never been nose to nose with a chicken snake myself, but I always took Johnny's word for it that it will just scare the living blank out of you. And it scared Johnny and Boots so badly that they both tried to get out of the hen house at the same time, doing considerable damage to themselves and to the hen house door in the process. So they came trailing back up to the porch, all shamefaced. Mrs. Falk looked at them and shook her head and said, Boys, what is wrong with you? You know perfectly well that a chicken snake will not hurt you. And that's when Boots Cooper said this semi-immortal thing. He said, "Yes, ma'am, but some things will scare you so bad you'll hurt yourself." Some things will scare you so bad you will hurt yourself. Fear can do that. Fear can do that to us. And I want us to hold on to that idea of how fear can hurt us and how it can work against our best interests and God's desires for our lives as we look at our gospel reading today. Jesus has been teaching about watchfulness and judgment in the preceding chapter. And they've been very hard teachings. He's admonished the crowd forcibly, even calling them hypocrites for failing to walk their talk. He tells them to get ready and to be ready at all times for judgment day and not to be hypocritical and pretend that you don't know what's required of you. But a few of those present were not willing to accept what Jesus was telling them about themselves and instead wanted to point to others as maybe being more in need of repentance than they. "Have you heard," they ask, "about the latest horrible thing that Pilate has done? Some Galileans were offering their sacrifices in the temple, and Pilate just had them killed right there at the temple and mixed their blood with the blood of the sacrificial animals that they were offering. A terrible and senseless act of barbarity, right?" Well, that may sound like an innocent and an appropriate question to you and me, but Jesus heard something in their tone that must have implied that they had an attitude of self-righteousness. Or maybe they were suggesting that the Jews that were killed had done something to have caused their fate, that they had somehow brought it on themselves, maybe even deserved it. Jesus responds against that nonsense immediately. "Do you honestly believe," he said, "that these men were the worst sinners in all of Galilee? Is that why you think they died? You could not be more wrong. In fact, it could have just as easily been you. So take this as a warning and repent before it's too late." Repent. Repentance is getting right with God. That's been a persistent theme throughout our Lent this year, and it continues today. But Jesus is not only giving his listeners a command to repent, he's also addressing that unspoken part of their question. And that is the tendency that humans have where we want to match up cause and effect in order to allay our fears that it could have happened to us. The people in Jesus' day had an excuse for thinking on those terms, because it was long held in their religion that tragedy came as a direct result of one's sinfulness or of the sinfulness of their ancestors. But Jesus states emphatically, that is not how God works. And certainly, we should know better than that. But still, our human nature is so much to want to believe that it could not happen to us that we always have to look for answers, look for causes, look for reasons, or even blame the victims for their circumstance or tragedy. Jesus warns us in very strong language against that self-righteous thinking. The Tower of Siloam just fell, he says. It was tragic bad luck for the people that it hit and killed. Certainly you don't believe that God made it fall to punish those who were killed. You don't think that they were greater sinners than everyone else and somehow deserved to die, do you? Bad things don't necessarily happen to people because they deserve them. No. I tell you that the question you should be asking is not, what did they do to deserve such a tragedy in their lives? But instead, look at your own lives and ask yourselves, what in my life is separating me from God? What in my life do I need to change before it is too late? In particular, how does that fear that wells up in us when we read about tragic events, another massacre by a hate-filled coward, how does that actually cause us to behave in a less Christ-like manner? We might brush off that mosque tragedy in another country as not being relevant to us. But when it happens to our children down the road in Santa Fe, how are we changed? Well, for one thing, we install metal detectors in our schools, put cameras everywhere, hire armed guards, and effectively turn our schools into prisons for our children. But it can also affect us in a deeper sense, make us less welcoming and more suspicious of people that are different from us, make us less generous with our resources because fear tells us that we need to hide and hoard our things just in case. And make us less courageous, even in our walk with God, less likely to speak up or step in to help when we see injustice being perpetrated on another. Jesus is understanding, but we know his answer. We hear it over and over again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Love your enemies. Be generous and share what you have with others. Stand up for justice and truth in my name. In our reading today, Jesus says, take your mind off the dangers of this life and restore a right relationship with your Father. And now is the time to get your life in order for you to bear the fruit that you are meant to bear. Think of that fig tree that is barren, Jesus says. Why would the owner allow it to take up space in the vineyard unless it bears fruit? I can intervene on your behalf for a while. I'll loosen the soil around your heart. I'll water you with the Holy Spirit. I'll fertilize you with grace and love. But time is short. Time is short, and the fact is that you eventually have to answer for yourself. Nobody, not even me, answers for you. I'm going to give the last word to Molly Ivins again. After she told her story about John Henry Falk and Boots Cooper and Boots' semi-immortal line that some things will scare you so bad that you'll hurt yourself, she said this. And don't you know that's what we do again and again in this country? Get so scared of a real menace, not a chicken snake, scared of communism, scared of crime, scared of drugs, scared of illegal aliens, scared of terrorists, so scared that we hurt ourselves. Make the same mistake over and over again. We think we can make ourselves safer, by making ourselves less free. I'll tell you something. When you make yourself less free, all that happens afterwards is that you're less free, not safer. And I would add, neither are you closer to God.